I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I really appreciated the message Brother J.C. preached. Bless my heart. Anytime anybody preaches about the Lord Jesus Christ like he did, I certainly enjoyed it. One of my favorite subjects to preach about, but tonight I've chosen to preach a different type of sermon to you tonight. I want to read the text, and I want to tell you a story before I do. And Jesus told stories, used illustrations, so I don't feel bad about using a real experience that just recently happened where I'm from. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle being burdened, not for that we might be unclothed or clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body as to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us or every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. A house not made with hands. Prior to the apostle writing these words that I just read, he said at the end of the previous chapter that all things were for our sakes, that the abundant grace through thanksgiving might redound to the glory of God. He stated that reason. Then he said, for this cause we faint not, and though our outward man perishes, that's this, our inward man is renewed day by day. Then he talked about the light afflictions that we go through are but for a moment, and they work for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Recently, a young man by the name of Robert Brown, 43 years old, went to a dentist because something bothered him in his mouth. The dentist looked at him, took an x-ray of his mouth. Brother John could probably identify that real easy. He said, "Robert," and I knew the man. I preached in their church just recently before this happened. He said, "Robert, I'm going to send you to an MD. I don't like what I see." So he sent him to a medical doctor, and the doctor began to examine him, and he come back in and he said, "I have bad news for you. You're really ate up with cancer." Well, Robert was a strong Christian man. So he sent him home. Now you listen to this, because this happened. Two things I want you to listen to that happened. He got his young two teenage girls, got them up in the bed with him, and he began to talk to them. Some would say he was hallucinating. Yeah, that's what they would say. He was hallucinating. Medicine talking. There goes Abraham. I see angels. And I want you girls to understand that Daddy ain't going to be here long. But I'm going to a much more wonderful place. He wanted them girls to know that. And he put them up in the bed with him and talked to them. And of course, they were weeping and crying. And he was trying to console them about the reality of this tabernacle, that he was going to put it off. And it wasn't going to be long. And it wasn't long that Robert died. Well, the First Baptist Church of his little town could not hold the people. So they brought his body to the First Baptist Church of Oakdale, where I live, which is across the street from my house, where I live. There was no place to park. There was people in any direction that you could park a car on my street, down the next street, in the bank parking lot, all the way down, up and down to the school, high school, in the high school parking lot, down the main street to the post office, down to the Presbyterian church. There was people everywhere, standing room only. And the First Baptist Church will seat 600 on the bottom floor and 100 in the balcony. He had a tremendous testimony for God. Then when they took him to the cemetery, he was a baseball coach. His team loved him. You know, when they have a military funeral, they bring out the flags and they run a casket through the flags for the military guy to pack his remains through. And it broke my heart when I seen the little boys come out with the baseball bats. And they brought Robert's coffin through those little boys as they wept. People weep over these bodies. And when they got to the Crier graveyard, which is south of town just a little bit, the mother of those two girls, she took those two daughters of hers and her husband laying on the whatever they lay you on before they put you in the vault. She took both of those girls to that casket and she walked them up and put her hands on that closed coffin. And she said, "This is what your dad would have me to do and say." And they prayed. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. You're going to die. One day, you're going to give it up. Your tabernacle is going to be put off. Will you be ready? I'm not trying to scare you with a sermon about death or about this tabernacle being dissolved. This is a Bible message. Abraham died. Moses died. Isaac died. Jesus died. Shall we go on? My daddy died. My mother died. Thank God my children have not died, nor my grandchildren. But I have buried more than I care to name. I have walked many hospital halls. I have seen many people take their last breath. I've held the hands of many saints and seen sinners tremble as they die. Death is real. One man told me one time, said, "Don't come to me with that stuff. I don't want to hear it." 5 days later, he got killed. Throwed out the back of his car, drunk. His wife asked me to go to the funeral home and make sure they put his boots on him. And I walked over to the preparation table and I walked up to his dead carcass. I said, "Does it matter now?" Naturally, he didn't hear me. I'm talking to live people tonight, and you're going to put your tabernacle off. Does it matter? Are you prepared to meet Jesus, the great Son of God? I want to borrow something from my pastor. When he preached this sermon, I want to borrow something that he used, and it so disturbed me that when we got into the car, I told Virginia, I said, "Go home. I don't want to eat. I don't want nothing." I went straight to my bedroom and I went to bed and I cried and I prayed. I could not deal with it. You know what a Roman elixir is? Those were the men who were in charge of those who were going to be crucified. Those were the men who laid the prisoners upon
the poles. And they would beat them and beat them and beat them and beat them and beat them. And most of them would die before they ever got them to drop them in the hole. And when they came to Jesus, after they had beat him and beat him and beat him, he was still alive. Because he said, no man takes my life. I lay it down to myself. They took him. The promise he makes in this text is we know that if this earthly house is dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. Jesus said, who was it? Abraham? Look for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I don't know what you believe. You believe what you want to. And I'm going to believe what I want to. But I believe the house he's talking about is this body, the new body. I don't think there's no structure in heaven somewhere and all that kind of stuff. It's the body. It's the glorified body. That's what I'm talking about. And God showed that to me one night in the pulpit while I was preaching, and I like to lost it. Don't give me a new body. A body without sin. Limitless. Body like Jesus. Glorified already. I like that. That's the way Cajun says it. He don't say that, he says that. I like that, brother. This knowledge is not based upon intellectual knowledge that he may have, but it is clearly spiritual insight into the spiritual things of the Lord. The Holy Spirit informed him. What is it that he knows? The dissolving of this earthly house. This is another expression of what the body is called by Paul throughout the Bible. We have been given testimony after testimony to believe that this house is temporary. Temporary. The ancient Job said these words, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I know I shall see him. I shall see him for myself. For myself. I told the church Sunday morning, I lead the singing in our church, and I said, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord lives in me. Not because you said he did. Not because the preacher said he did. Not because the church said he did. Not because my mama said he did. Not because nobody said he did. Jesus lives in me. And I know he lives in me. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I shall see him for myself.
I don't have to guess at it. I don't worry about it. I don't go to bed at night and say, oh, I hope tonight, I hope you, Lord, I hope everything's clear. I hope I'm going to make it. I got some kin people, they don't know if they're going to make it. They hope they're going to make it. They hope they've done enough to make it. They ain't never going to do enough. He's already done it all. Thank God for that message. We have a house not made with hands. The Lord Jesus Christ made mention of this reference to His body, that is, His glorified body in Mark 14 and 58. He said, we heard Him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another one made without hands. Now, you know, that they actually thought He was talking about the temple in Jerusalem. He wasn't talking about no earthly temple. He's talking about that glorified body. You ever thought about what it's going to be like? I like it. Listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians 15 and 42. Incorruptible body. Means it can't corrupt. So also in the resurrection of the dead, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness and raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Victory in Jesus. The reality He expresses in our text. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found unclothed, naked, unclothed. What about this groaning? This is a fact to most of us here tonight. We know something about the sighing of the old body, some more than others. Job said, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I know something about that now. I used to didn't when I was young. But I've lived long enough to know a little bit about the sighing of the body, about the hurting and the aching. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This groaning we do is a natural thing. Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Nobody wants to die. Well, speak for yourself. I don't worry about it anymore. When I was young, I'd like to stay here, but for what? What do you want to hang around down here for? Because you like Obama? There's a man said, talk to me after church. I feel for my grandchildren. Look what he's done to America. It's not what I used to see in America. It's not what I was raised in, and some of you older people here tonight know what I'm talking about. You young people don't know. Paul calls this body a body of death. That's what it is. The groaning we do is natural. We're waiting for the redemption. Clearly stated in verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed or clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. The unclothing, that is, we are not wishing for death of this body in reality, but we are wanting a clothing of the immortal body. I think Paul declares it. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verses 5 through 11, I want you to see the truths he confirms. The truths he confirms. In verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. The word wrought is to perform a thing by working it out. To set with a definite goal and accomplish it. This is what the Lord is doing right now. He's working on us. It is like God planting a tree. And in fact, that is what we're called, trees. Two places. And I want to call your attention to them. One is in Isaiah 61 and 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. He planted us. We're his trees. And we're growing. And the little song says, he's still working on me. People like kids to sing it. Truth of the matter is, we're the trees and he's planted us and he's still working on us. The other day I had him to sing, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. And Most of the time, people like to get children to sing that. I said, did you know that this used to be the theme song of the nation of China? Did you know that? Now they're an atheistic country. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. I'm so glad He loves me. What's wrong with that? Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I know He loves me. A lot of people can't say that tonight, but I can. Can you say tonight that He loves you? You might can sing it, but can you say it? You might can read it, but can you say it? Can you say in your heart tonight that you're one of His trees? He's planted you. He's watering you. He's fertilized you. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 15 and 13. He answered and said, every plant my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You don't have to know Greek to understand what that means. It means that word worketh in the Greek means that God is actively working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Everybody likes to quote, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. That's what people say, amen. But the next verse says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's not a matter of choice or chance. If God saved you, you have been ordained, predestinated to walk in good works. And if you're not doing that, make your calling an election, sure. This work has eternal ramifications to it. Ecclesiastes 3 and 14 says, I know. Do you know? The writer of that says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever, and nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. I used that text at a funeral one day. One Sunday morning, I was in my office at the church and my phone rang, and it was a young lady. She was about 20 years old, maybe 21. She said, "Uncle Jackie," she said, "I'm moving to Tunica." I believe that's Mississippi. "And I'm going to be working in the restaurant business up there. And I want to know if I can come to your church if I work in that casino." I said, "Absolutely. In fact, I will pick you up if you tell me where to pick you up, and I will bring you to church." Good. Friday morning, my phone rang. But Brandy didn't speak this time. My brother-in-law did. Brandy died drunk in the back seat of a car. And they want you to preach her funeral. I can't tell you how I felt. I can't tell you. I just went to my knees. It just broke me down. It broke my heart. I had such high hopes of winning that girl. I knew what kind of home she came from. I knew what her mother had done. I knew what she had been told all her life, that she was worthless, she was trash, and she would never amount to nothing, and I was going to prove them wrong. And now she was dead. I walked to my home church's pulpit, and they had all those casino people there, and everybody you could think of in that town was there. And I said, "I want everybody here to know that this is not about Brandy. It's about you." And this was my text. "And I want all you men in that back there that's standing back there. I want all of you to know there's a God in heaven right now. And you will meet him one day. And when you pass by this young lady down here in this box, I want you to see yourself. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. And God doeth it that men fear him." I'm here tonight to tell you, this tabernacle will be put off, saved or lost. I'm telling you, the greatest thing that can ever happen to you is to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Quickened, made alive where you can hear the gospel. See, a dead man can't do nothing. A dead man don't hear. He don't speak. He don't move. He don't make decisions. He won't come to Christ. He has to be made alive. Then he can hear. Then he can hear. God regenerates us with the Holy Spirit. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. He helps us with the Holy Spirit and many other things. This is all taken into our hearts and minds by faith that He has given us. 6, verse 6 says, therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. I like what Paul said to Titus. In Titus 1, verses 1 to 3, he said, Paul, the servant of God, and the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. God uses preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Nothing like preaching. There's nothing that'll do for you tonight what preaching will do for you. Too much of it, it'll make you sick. I realize that. But this is the last one, and I'm nearly through. So don't get too weary. Let me finish. What kind of faith does God give us? He gives us knowledgeable faith. 1 Corinthians 2 and 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You like that? I do. He gives us abiding faith. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity in these three, but the greatest of these is charity. He gives us standing faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not for that we might have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. He gives us a working faith. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. He confirms that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ is the one and only judge. Acts 10:42, and He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and of the dead. Let me clear up something. That this judgment is not about sin, nor is it about sins. It is about our Christian work. Specifically, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Last verse. Last two verses. Colossians 3:23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. Christ. Father, in your holy and righteous name, a name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. We bless you tonight, Lord, for letting us be here. Thank you for your word that ever lives, sharper than any two-edged sword. Forever settled in heaven, you've taught us. Thank you for all the messages, all the instructions, the good food, good hospitality, the rooms, the love offering, everything that you've done through this church and this pastor. We thank you for it. Till we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.